Hi everybody, lovely to see you and great that we had a chance for a few hellos before we began. So I'd like to acknowledge that this meeting is being held on Aboriginal lands across Australia. We respect and honour Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders past, present and future. We acknowledge the stories, traditions and living cultures of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples of these lands and commit to building a brighter future together. You are welcome to name the Aboriginal people on whose lands you stand today by writing in the chat panel. I'm on Ngunnawal land in Canberra. My name is Andrea Dean and I'm the convener for this session and president of WATAC. WATAC Presents is a project of Women and the Australian Church, an incorporated organisation that commenced in 1984 to promote women's role in the Australian Church. As a group, we are Catholic in origin, ecumenical in practice, and inclusive in our membership. I'd like to welcome you all to this Zoom session. And could I start by apologising for the hiccup about sending two links in the last email, one correct and one incorrect. I'm very sorry about that. We might just do a quick check-in to see who's here from various states of Australia and beyond. So if you're from Western Australia or Northern Territory, could you give us a wave right now? From Tassie or Victoria, please wave. Oh, it's a big group tonight. South Australia and Queensland. Very good. ACT and New South Wales. Oh, that's a huge group. And do we have anyone from outside of Australia? I thought I saw one person from outside of Australia. Please give a wave. And how many members of WATAC are here? So just give us a wave if you're a member of WATAC. Terrific. Thank you for your support. We did have a total of 130 people registered, but we may not have that number attend because of my mistake with the email. But still, we've got great support and I thank you for that. We will begin tonight with a short prayer in keeping with our theme. On this occasion, Leanne will read the prayer for us, an extract from the writings of Hildegard of Bingen. I'll just bring that up on screen for you. And thanks, Leanne, when you're ready.
The word is living being spirit, all verdant greening, all creativity. The word manifests itself in every creature. Glance at the beauty of earth's greenings. You are encircled by the arms of the mystery of God. Good people, most royal greening verdancy, rooted in the sun, you shine with radiant light. I reach out my hand to God, that God may carry me along as a feather is borne weightlessly by the wind. Love abounds in all things, excels from the depths to beyond the stars, is lovingly disposed to all things.
Thank you, Leanne. So the overview for tonight's session of WATAC Presents is an introduction of our guests, some questions for them, then a question for you as participants and a time in small groups to chat and an opportunity to respond to us through the chat, and then some questions will be addressed to our guests. I'll stay online for a moment at the end of the conversation in case there's any networking or support that WATAC can facilitate. It's my pleasure now to introduce our two guests for the evening. Guy, would you like to give a wave, please? So Diane Rayson is an eco-theologian and a Bonhoeffer scholar. She lectures in eco-theology at United Theological College of Charles Sturt University and in ethics, epistemology, and policy at the University of Newcastle. Di is an adjunct fellow of the Public and Contextual Theology Research Centre of CSU and describes herself as a public theologian. She has published on climate change, rape culture, the Australian bushfires, for example, from theological perspectives, and appears on ABC Radio to discuss religion and ethics. She's assistant editor of the Bonhoeffer Legacy, an international journal, and is on the board of the International Bonhoeffer Society. She's been convener of the Australian Bonhoeffer Conference and of Inspiracy, a festival of community, creation and creativity. Di's upcoming book is entitled Bonhoeffer and Climate Change, Theology and Ethics. And she has a chapter in Words for a Dying World, Stories of Grief and Courage from the Global Church. Di lives and works on Awabakal and Biripi country, where she also preaches across denominations. You are very welcome, Di. Thanks for joining us. Our second guest, Jackie, would you like to give a wave? Thank you. Jackie Raymond is co-founder of the Global Catholic Climate Movement and a former director of Catholic Earth Care Australia. Jackie graduated from the University of Melbourne with a Bachelor of Education in Science and is currently undertaking a PhD in Education to research transformative learning, dialogue, and integral ecology. Jackie has worked as an environmental educator at universities, TAFE colleges, and secondary schools across Australia. Over a period of 10 years as director of Catholic Earth Care Australia, Jackie developed partnerships and ecological conversion initiatives to enable the Catholic Church in Australia to better care for God's creation through advocacy, education, research, and collaboration. Currently, Jackie is working with the Vatican Dicastery for Integral Human Development as Assistant Coordinator of the Ecology Task Force and the Australian Catholic University, designing an online program, Preparing the Future, Living an Integral Ecology. As co-founder of the Global Catholic Climate Movement, Jackie is involved on its steering group, numerous working groups, the Oceania chapter, and is co-chair of LISTEN, the Laudato Si International Scholars Tertiary Education Network. What wonderful guests we have tonight. So my first question is for Di. In reading your biography there, Di, I'm wondering, what's the role of religion with regard to care for the environment?
Thank you, Andrea, and hello, everybody. I'm really so thrilled to be part of this group tonight, and there's some names I recognise, and I would just like to acknowledge two things. The amount of experience and wisdom that there already is in the room. So Jackie and I are here to sort of just facilitate the conversation, I think. And I would also like to acknowledge that I am speaking to you from Awabakal land now, and I do live on Biripi country as well, between the mountains and the sea. I would like to just acknowledge that custodianship of the lands from which we're all speaking tonight. It's wonderful to be part of this community. So Andrea, to your question, the role of religion is I probably want to speak about it in two parts. First, there's a sociological aspect, and then there's the theological aspect, which is probably, you know, why I'm here. But I think it's important for us to understand our role as people of faith in a sociological context as well. So understanding that this problem of the climate crisis is not only our problem, it's a problem for the entire world of which we are a part. Our role as people of faith allows us to engage with the entire Earth community. This is not only a religious problem, but it is a religious problem as well. So when we think about the harm of climate change, the harm of pollution, of biodiversity loss, of land use changes, of the seas and the air all being harmed by human intervention, I think we as people of faith have just so many resources to draw on to conceptualize this differently. And this is really part of our gift to the world. It's part of the good news that we bring to the world. It's part of the gospel that we bring, that we are able to understand this theologically. And I think this is probably an aspect of climate change that's a little bit underdone. And so people like Jackie and I, you know, have been working in this space for a long time, and others that are in the room. I just like to acknowledge that there are plenty of people listening to this conversation who've also been working in this space for a long time. But I think when we consider this theologically and the role of religion, we can think about really useful theologies that help us to understand and engage in the problem. But then there's also some pretty poor theologies as well that we need to push back against. One of those would be separating the spiritual from the material and prioritizing things spiritual over the real material world around us. And Protestantism especially has had this problem of worrying so much about piety that they forget to worry about social justice and the world around us. Another poor theology would be prioritizing a future paradise over the present paradise. And we see this in some forms of Christian fundamentalism, particularly in the United States, that that are so focused on leaving this world that we're simply passing through in order to arrive at this future world. So when we separate out the future from the present or the spiritual from the material, we end up with theologies that enable us to reject the world and enable us to prioritize humans over the rest of creation. And enable us to get caught in this trap of Western thinking, which has turned technology against Earth and against the other creatures, and indeed against each other. So we see all of these ideas wrapped up together, and the result is the climate crisis that we're in. So, I mean, that's sort of a crash course in sort of everything I know. But the role for religion is to take these really rich traditions of our church, a rich understanding of our relationship with the earth and our role in the biosphere, our particular role as humans, take all these rich resources and use them for the good. There are so many more people of faith in the world than people with no faith. And all of the great religions have similar theologies around the role of humans in creation and our role to serve creation and restore and protect creation. If we could mobilize all of people of faith and turn our attention to this and to drive at this as a cause, you know, that is part of our good news, I think, to the rest of the world, so that our gospel is not only words and ideas. Our gospel is action, and it's not only for humans, but it is for the other creatures and for Earth herself. So that's why people like Jackie and I are so excited about being engaged in this space.
Thank you, Di. That's very inspiring and hopeful. Yeah. Jackie, I'm wondering if you could talk to us about who or what inspires you to act for the environment. Jackie, you're on mute.
Sorry, I was on mute. Big apologies. Thanks, Andrea, for that question. And I'd just like to start by acknowledging that I'm on Cammeraygal country here with the beautiful waterways of the North Sydney Harbour, and just take a moment to acknowledge the traditional custodians, past, present, future, and our role to continue to look after country. So in response to your question about what inspires me or who inspires me to keep acting and be committed to caring for creation, there are three key areas I'd like to explore. The first is physical, the educational, and then the spiritual. So one of the dimensions that inspires me every day is the beauty of creation, the ecosystems which are within us and which we're dependent on, not only for food and water and shelter and all those things for survival, but the health of the ecosystems that enable us to heal and to live a life that's one of well-being and flourishing wherever we can. The way that country speaks to us continuously, and its own agency, the stories like the clouds that are communicating to us, the long-time story of rocks, for example, and the invigorating way that saltwater country continues to make me feel happy and healthy, the sand between my toes, the salty air in my lungs, where I feel so at home. I would also say that a significant inspiration for me is what I've learned and continue to learn and teach about the earth and environmental science. As a young person, I was very lucky to be taken on a trip with my family around Australia, where I came to be really curious about the things I was seeing. And when I studied science and in earth and environmental science in particular, and biology, it was like a lightning strike to my emotional and spiritual self. It integrated knowledge, a sense of place and purpose. And that's ongoing, of course. But another key source of inspiration for me is my faith in a creator or a maker of this incredibly awe-inspiring universe, sustaining and beckoning every moment if I can tap into it and not be distracted by other things sometimes, ways of feeling, ways of seeing and being and thinking that open me up to the wholeness of creation. The Christian tradition that I inherited is full of so much wisdom, as Di was saying and sharing with us. But there was a period of my life where after school, I didn't feel I could access that wisdom of church. As a young woman, I felt alienated, and I returned in my later 20s when a friend and a practicing Catholic invited me to come to Mass. I felt somewhat conflicted because I hadn't been practicing for some time, but when I returned, I felt a sense of home. However, I was troubled because I explained to my friend after Mass that the language was alienating still. There was a sense of strong patriarchal energy that to me wasn't quite sitting right. And my friend invited me to see that if I wasn't part of it, that I couldn't change it. So I was really struck by that challenge. I reflected deeply and I discerned that I didn't want to stay outside of the church and be bitter for the rest of my life around the problems that I saw, and that I wanted to find another way. So I learned to re-engage with sacred scripture and the wisdom of the old teachings that are always forever new in our circumstances. And I became really engaged with the evolving story of Catholic social teaching. And of course, one of the things that continues to inspire me is being in conversation with ecological theologians like yourself, Di, and great people like Dennis Edwards and Elizabeth Johnson and so many others, as well as the inspiring stories of the saints, Dr. Hildegard of Bingen that we heard from tonight, St. Teresa of Avila, Mary MacKillop and her incredible journey in Australia. They continue to be a stronghold in the times where the storms sweep over me. But lastly, I'd like to say the people that I've met on this journey of life, their stories of not only the goodness of life, but the woundedness and their dreams has been a huge source of inspiration. First Nations people, artists, everyone who's yearning for a sense of connected community inspires me, because I've been able to see through the social systems and fabric that's been torn apart through the ecological damage, also the glimpses and the ways in which we can knit back together and weave a richer tapestry through that woundedness of really valuing the life that we have been gifted with, and enable a sense of ecological conversion to continue to grow through not only personal life stories of change, but the structures that we're invited to reinvigorate with a sense of the common good, and forming communities of practice and enabling a future of dignified jobs to emerge, for example.
Wow, that sounds really wonderful. Thank you for sharing from your personal experiences as well as your opportunities for studying and learning there. Di, I'm wondering, could you tell us what exactly ecotheology is? And I guess I'm wondering, like, so how do you actually live ecotheology? What's your answer to that?
My answer is, how long have you got? So when we talk about ecotheology, we're talking about the interaction of ecology and theology. And ecology itself is really describing relationships and the interdependence of relationships throughout creation, of which we are a part. So in those relationships, we see interdependence, we see particular roles for different species, we see suffering as a way of maintaining the food chain, we see balance and harmony and restoration, rebalancing. So here's the thing, when we talk about theology, we're talking about the same things, aren't we? I tend to think that really eco-theology is kind of the umbrella, and all the other parts of theology kind of fall within that. Because when we're talking about theology, we're talking about relationships primarily, like in the first instance, the relationships within the Trinity of interdependence and particular roles and suffering on behalf of the others. So already when we start thinking about God, we're thinking about an ecology in a nutshell. When we expand that out and think about our relationship with God and then our relationship to the rest of creation, these are ways of thinking metaphorically about ecology anyway. So to me, it's almost like there's no division between ecology and theology, because as people of faith, we understand God to be so intimate with creation that Christ is in and through all parts of creation. And we recognize God in creation, not that creation is God, but God is in creation, holding it together, sustaining it, rebalancing it, providing, you know, food from one creature to another. This is the image of our God. And so to me, it's very difficult to talk about theology without talking about ecology. And it's also impossible to talk about ecology without the notion of Christ being in and through all matter and holding it together. So it's a very natural fitting together, in my opinion. Not everybody sees it that way, but it is just so relational. And as people of faith, if we're not relational, then I don't think we're perceiving the relationality of God amongst God's self, through creation and between us as people of faith. So when I think about myself as an eco-theologian and myself living out my own theology, again, it just comes back to this household of relationships. So I can't worship God without appreciating nature. I can't be in nature without worshiping God. I try and restore and make wholesome my relationships with other people because I see the face of Christ in others. And in the same way, I see my relationship with earth and sea and sky and the other creatures as a reflection of my relationship with God. So Bonhoeffer talks about this as an analogy, a relationship of analogies, that that not only are we seeing the face of Christ in each other, but maybe all of creation. You know, Sally McFaig talks about, you know, the body of God. The earth is not just the face of God, but it's God's body because Christ is so imminent. So for me, it's about relationships, but it's also about ethical action, hey? So we take action mindful of the impact that each of us can have individually, but also what we can do collectively. And again, this comes back to us bringing the gospel to the world, the good news. You know, we as a church can be symbolic. We can be the center of the village with the highest spire by our actions of caring for creation, of divesting from fossil fuels, of driving, you know, the most earth-friendly cars if we have to drive, or cycling. You know, the choices that we make are not only intrinsically good choices, but they're also very symbolic and very powerful from that symbolic point of view. So there's that ethical action. And then finally, there's the activism that we participate in, which I'll talk about a bit more later. But I feel like as a church community, we are already, you know, a body politic. We're already positioned to be agents in this fight for what we know to be God's creation. So I feel like we need to be operating across all those aspects. Yeah,
it's wonderful, Di. And I'd love to hear you when you're preaching sometime. It's wonderful. You're so eloquent and passionate. Jackie, can I come back to you now? I'm sure other people were intrigued by the mention that you're involved in the International Laudato Si project. So, Jackie, could you tell us a bit about what that is and what's going on?
Sure, Andrea. And I just want to say thank you, Di. That was a great sharing, and I think it's so inspirational. So the international work with the Vatican has been something that came without any warning whatsoever. In April, when I paused my doctoral research, I was offered a role to support the Ecology Task Force that's part of Pope Francis's COVID Commission. And the Ecology Task Force is responding, of course, to the crisis we face in the pandemic, but the multiple interconnected crises that include the economic fallout, the climate crisis, biodiversity, because, of course, the origin of the pandemic, as we know, has likely emerged from the way we are encroaching on natural ecosystems. So in the first phase of the work, the task force is made up of scientists and theologians and the Union of Superior Generals, so the religious leaders of the church, the Parliament of World Religions, and so many other groups. We were invited to generate papers, and over 80 were generated in a period of 6 weeks. The Ecology Task Force, of course, responded through the lens of Laudato Si, and we followed the methodology of See, Judge and Act. And in the Act section of the papers that people were invited to submit, it included a range of proposals. So the task I was given as one of the joint coordinators was to synthesise the papers received each week into an executive summary. And we were asked to focus on key themes like politics, health, finance, women. And in phase two, I was asked to shortlist proposals from those papers and the projects. And one of them, of course, being women close to my heart and all of yours, no doubt, it was really fascinating to be able to put that proposal forward in terms of the call to act on the theme of dignity and equality for women outside the church in terms of agriculture and land and all those other aspects, but also within the church. And so one of the actions that we were able to put forward was that women be invited to work alongside men in positions of ministry and not be subordinate to men, but as equals. So it's a collaborative project that's obviously radical, but absolutely called for, and it's in harmony with the other task forces. So it's not just the ecology task force that is supporting this proposal and action. So we'll see how it goes. It's still in phase two, and we've got a few more phases before the COVID commission concludes in May next year. So I'll keep you in touch and watch this space.
Jackie, thank you. Look, I feel really proud to think that you're there and making a difference in such a significant way on behalf of all women.
Thank you.
Well done.
It's a real honour. As I said, I felt a great sense of responsibility thinking of my grandmother and all the women involved in this story. So I hope it certainly flourishes and we'll keep on it.
Thank you. Thanks, Jackie. We're going to go to breakout groups shortly. So that will happen without you having to do anything necessarily, but I'll just share a couple of questions for you. So when you go to your group, firstly, please introduce yourselves, get to know who you're with, and just have a chat about what ideas resonate with you. And then I wonder, given that you will all have had some experience in your concern for the environment, so my second question is, in your experience, what happens when communities care for the environment? What have you noticed? What have you seen happen? So you might just take a note of a couple of words there so you know the topic of your chat. And James will pop you into a breakout group. Usually it's for 10 minutes, but we might need to shorten that a little, James. But enjoy your chats with each other and we'll see you back here in a couple of minutes' time.
So we're looking forward to hearing some comments or questions from you in the chat bar. Just while we're waiting for those to show up, I just address another question or two to our guests. So firstly, to Di, I'm wondering what stories of hope can you share from your experience?
Yeah, well, look, we're a people of hope, right? Our faith is a faith of hope. And this is what I mean by us bringing the good news, because it is good news of hope. So if we can't be demonstrating hope in the world in the midst of climate crisis, then really there is no hope. So, you know, theologically, we return to the idea of Christ being in the world and being the resurrection. And that is our hope in the resurrection. And we see that we've seen that in these last weeks when spring has come, haven't we? So essentially my hope is theological, but since we as the church community are the body of Christ, we are the resurrection. We are the people who bring this resurrection into its full manifestation in the world. And we see that, don't we? Whenever we act to combat climate change in any form, we find hope in community. And it's not just Christians or other people of faith who find this hope in community. Everybody who participates in community in some sort of activism finds this same experience, that school children, you know, feel hopeless, feel sad, feel angry, feel powerless, and yet once they join the school student climate strikes, they suddenly find their community of hope. And so it's in action and in community action in particular that we find hope. So my answer is twofold. It's theological, because Christ is our resurrected hope. Christ is in the world and Christ is in us as the church community. But it's also in acting in community that we encourage each other and derive hope from each other. And so again, to repeat myself, this is part of the good news that we bring to the world, that once we start taking action, people move from a position of desperation and sadness and anger to one of taking direct action to combat the problem.
Mm, thank you, Di. Thank you for that. Di, we may not get back to you for any other comments. Is there anything else that you wanted to let us know?
There's just a couple of things. When Jackie was talking before, I did want to just draw the connection between eco-theology and eco-feminism. So when we're talking about relationships, we're talking about this reciprocity, we're talking about relationality. When we're talking about feminism, we're talking about trying to dismantle these power differentials, because we don't find those power differentials in the created world. And so trying to dismantle that as humans, and also trying to dismantle the problem of humans over and above nature, are really just two sides of the same story. So they're so intimately connected. And finally, I am teaching a course in eco-theology, a one-week intensive in November, and so we'll put some information up about that if people would like to come along as an auditing student for just a low fee for a week and have many more rich discussions about it. That'd be great.
Mm, thank you, Di. That's really wonderful. I appreciate you sharing that as a way forward for people too. Jackie, I'm going to go to you with some questions about what actions you would recommend that we take regarding Laudato Si, but you might also want to comment on some of the things coming in the chat, some resources have been mentioned there, but also a little challenge to the theology of Pope Francis, which Gail's pointing out is really a dual anthropology. So any of those comments from you, Jackie, would be really helpful at this point.
Sure. Well, I might start with Laudato Si to say that my understanding of the theology in Laudato Si and the key message about the critique of a technocratic or technology saving us paradigm or an anthropocentric worldview of human centeredness is Pope Francis puts forward the theology of integral ecology, which brings together all of the wisdom traditions, not just the Christian, of course, from the faith perspective, but also the disciplines and the branches of knowledge that are indigenous and of every kind. So our challenge here is to live that, and it requires a whole lot of ongoing learning and experience. So to answer the question and come to some of those examples of action and advocacy, the ongoing learning is so important. So rereading Laudato Si to discover the gifts, the treasures and the wisdom in there. You could read a paragraph each morning as part of prayer over a period of time, but also to study it through some of the programs that are available. There's one soon to be launched that I'm involved with at ACU, an online program called Prepare the Future, Living Laudato Si. So that'll be available online in 2021. You can enrol for free through the GCCM website for the Laudato Si animated program. And when that's concluded as a capstone project, you're invited to form communities of Laudato Si circles to be part of the Oceania chapter, which is working towards having an Oceania Synod in the footsteps of Laudato Si with the work on the Synod on the Amazon that happened and concluded this year, but is ongoing because it set up new ecclesial bodies of church, which is fantastic, including, young people, of course, women and many other, diverse voices, which is a new way of being church in a formal structure as well. But I'd also suggest that you look at the Laudato Si special anniversary year concluding, about to commence in May 2021, which will lead into 7-year action plans for families, for communities, for religious, for all sorts of, works around schools as well. And of course, the multi-faith work that's happening, particularly in the last week, has been incredible. Mm-hmm. Faith for Nature, a United Nations program of work, which has been led with Mary Evelyn Tucker and her husband through the Yale Faith and Ecology Forum. With the Parliament of World Religions, they've released a book called Faith for Earth, and that was a second edition. The first one was 20 years ago. And all of the work that comes through that, there's so much that enables us to keep embodying this incredible journey of an integral spirituality, an integral faith, an integral perspective and worldview that's then lived out through all of these different ways of acting. And just remember that, you know, every single gesture, everything we do is an act of love for each other, for the earth, for our creator. So simple things are those acts of love, and they really matter just as much as these big sort of global movements are happening that you can tap into and be part of. Mm. So there's lots of ways to participate, and you know, there's great work going on. I saw Pat O'Gorman mentioned the great work that's happening in the Wollongong schools area with Beth Riolo's incredible journey with Laudato Si and ecological conversion. Sister Elio Delia, Franciscan sister, and her work, her books are fantastic, and she's involved with Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's Omega Centre that you can tap into online. There's, of course, the Franciscan work that goes on with contemplation and action through Richard Rohr. There's so many things that can inform your day-to-day life of prayer and action. So please explore them and be part of this movement that's happening on Zoom from your lounge room through all of these programs and initiatives, webinars, and Sowing Hope for the Future is another wonderful initiative that religious congregations have been, you know, taking up very seriously, and you can tap into the recordings online too. So thanks for having me being part of the WATAC conversation. I've known about WATAC for years, and it's just such an amazing space to resonate with great women like yourselves. Mm. So thanks for inviting me to be part of it.
Thank you so much, Jackie. You've been an inspiration, both yourself and Di. We're so thrilled to have continue to find such wonderful guests. I'm going to give a few final comments as we move towards our conclusion for the evening. Our time has gone especially quickly tonight. Thank you for those comments in the chat. Some people are making some special, their own thank yous to you there. So I just want to highlight a couple of events that are coming up. So Women Church Community in the Time of COVID. So I've just put those details on your screen. I won't read them through. I hope you find a few keywords there that you can follow that up. Another Zoom event offered for free. Those things are on our Facebook group if you need to follow up on details. Also coming up, a conference from BBI, Theological Institute of Australia. The conference is called Some Women of Our Company Amazed Us. Many of the people who were in the session tonight are participating in that conference, presenting papers, etc. Keynote is being given by Tina Beatty, Professor Tina Beatty from the UK. So I commend that to you as well. And this is from Adelaide, something from the Adelaide Church there, Aboriginal and Catholic Spirituality in Dialogue, which also looks really very interesting. So once again, I just commend all of those events to you. And I just want to thank everybody who helped, members of the WATAC committee and family members who've provided practical and technical support. We're going to hold a very different conversation in December for our next event, but you're all very welcome. So not December, it'll be a Christmas party for WATAC, but as well as celebrating together, we're also having a discussion about some important matters for the future of WATAC. So you are all very welcome to join us and to help us as we make decisions for an effective future for the group. So there's a little few Christmas decorations for you there as a little reminder. You will receive an evaluation to help us improve what ACT presents and to gather ideas about future topics and guests. And a thousand thanks to Di and Jackie, who generously agreed to be part of What ACT Presents. If you're able to, you can give them a round of applause physically or by waving your hands. I must say my impression is that they have been outstanding guests, so passionate and knowledgeable. It's really been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. And thank you everybody for being involved in what is becoming a rich, ongoing project of What ACT Incorporated. So good evening to you all and God bless. I will stay on the line if anyone has any questions or if there's anything you'd like some support in following up. Jackie obviously mentioned a lot of great resources, so we might see if we can get a list and promote them somewhere through the What ACT network.